Exodus chapter number 13. Been a good day today. The Lord's really blessed us. Thank the Lord for the soul that was saved this morning, and what a blessing that was, and thank God for that. Had a good crowd this morning, good crowd back out tonight, and the Lord's just gave us a great day today. I hope that you be mindful of that, and I hope you thank Him for His goodness and for His grace, and that He allowed us to have such the service that He had this morning, or we have this morning. And let's not take it for granted. But tonight's a new night, new service. There's new needs, new encouragements that's needed. But I'm glad the Lord is still the same. I sure appreciate Malachi 3:6. Am I on now? Malachi 3:6. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." Well, I'm glad I serve a God that don't change. I change. That's my family. Sometimes I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, on the wrong end of the bed, on the wrong corner of the bed. You know, I know nobody else does that, but I do, you know. And one day I'm happy, and one day I'm sad. And one day I'm happy and sad and mad and glad and all them other things in the same day. So I change a lot, but I'm glad I serve a God that never changes. Amen. Amen. So Exodus chapter number, I said 13. We're going to be in 13, but I want to read in verse chapter number 14. Why I should go forward. We preached last Sunday night about going forward. Going forward. I'll read this quote to you that I heard or seen an acquaintance of mine make, and I really struck my heart when I heard this quote. And listen to what he said. Brother Larry Wynn made this statement. He said, "If our memories of the past become greater than our vision of the future, we will die." I'm going to make that statement again. If our visions of the past, or if our memories, let me put back, if our memories of the past become greater than our visions of the future, we will die. I'm afraid today there's a lot of churches that's dying because they're hung up in the past. Amen? They're hung up in traditions. They're hung up what used to be. Now, once again, I'm glad for the old-time way. I'm old-time way, all right? And when I say that, I'm blood-bought, King James, Bible-believing, independent, shouting Baptist, all right? But I'm glad for this. I'm glad that I didn't have to ride a horse and a buggy to get to the house of God tonight. Amen? I'm glad that there's air conditioner on when I came in. I'm glad there's running water. And I'm glad they ain't an outhouse. Amen. There's some things I don't want to go back to. Amen. And I can remember as a young man them being outhouses at the church, and being, you know, I can remember people piling in together and coming, going to the house. I'm not that old. I almost said I was old. I am not old. Okay. I'm getting mature. All right. I'm getting mature. So even though I had a birthday today, I'm not old. I'm just getting mature. But I'm thankful for the old past, all right? But I'm afraid today, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the memories of the past. And we'll lose the vision of the future. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians that's done that. Well, I used to be this, and I used to be this. But what are we now, and what are we going forward? What are we going toward? Man, there's so much to go forward in the life of the child of God. Exodus chapter number 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 15. Notice here the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." That they go forward. Father, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that you saved that young man this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just ever, Lord, let that salvation, Lord God, the reality of it grow in his heart and in his life. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to run the van this morning and the bus. And Lord, you put your stamp of approval upon that ministry. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. But Lord, tonight's a new night. And God, these new needs. Lord, you've got a new message, Lord, but you're still the same. And Lord, we're your people. And God, I pray that you would use me tonight to preach the message, that you would have us to preach, that you would help us to exhort and encourage, God, the church to move forward. And Lord, I love you. And Father, I thank you. Lord, I love my church. Lord, I love the people. Thank you for the opportunity to be their pastor. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Why should I go forward? Number one, the reason that you and I should go forward is because the Word of God tells us to. Moses, for the Lord spoke unto Moses in verse number 15, and he said, tell them to go forward. First of all, I want you to notice this message that came to them. Where did this message come from? Or what was the message? As I've already stated, the message is go forward. May I say to you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us as individual, wants us as a church, that we would go forward, okay? Go forward, not go backward, but go forward. You do realize tonight that if you're not as close to the Lord tonight that you've ever been in your life, you do realize tonight that you're in a backslid condition. If this is the Lord and I have been here, but now I am back over here, then I have slid backwards. Then I'm not as close as I used to be. And I'm afraid there's a lot of times in our lives that as Christians that we move forward and we move toward the Lord and we move toward the things that God has in our life. But then circumstances come and our flesh begins to rise up and sin enters into our life. And then slowly by inch, you know, we don't necessarily go mile by mile or yard by yard. Most of the time it's inch by inch that we begin to go backwards. And then the next thing you know, we look at our life and we say, well, man, I'm not as close as I used to be. I'm not where I used to be. The problem is that we've gone backwards and not going forward, because Paul said this, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we're not moving forward, then we're going backwards. Because understand this, the best way, well, I'm going to make this statement and listen to me. The best way to backslide is do nothing. Just do nothing. And you'll be backslid before you know it. Quit reading your Bible. Quit praying. Quit coming to the house of God. Just do nothing. And before you know it, you're backslid. You've already slid back. So my challenge to you tonight is this, that God has given us a message to go forward. May I say this to you? As we look at the message here, we go because the Word of God tells us to. Why? Why would God tell us to go forward? Why would God tell us to move forward? Why was He telling the children of Israel to move forward? Number one, we understand and we realize tonight that where were they coming from? They were coming from the land of Egypt. God had brought them out of Egypt. He had redeemed them there through the Passover lamb, and He was bringing them out of Egypt, and He was telling them to go forward. Why? Because He wanted to get them away from the land of Egypt. Because as you study their lives out, you find that many times they said, would to God we had stayed in Egypt. Or would to God we go back to Egypt. Let's go back. Let's go back. May I say unto you, child of God, there's no place in the world for you to go back to. Egypt is always a type of the world in the Word of God. Study it out. And you'll find this, that every time somebody went down into Egypt, look at Abraham's life, look at David, look at Isaac. When they went into the land of Egypt, they went down. Okay? They went down. And God was trying to get the children of Israel away from the world. He was trying to get them away. And His message was this, go forward. Well, why? What was He trying to lead us to? Turn to John chapter number 10. He's trying to lead me into the promises that He has for me. The reason that you and I, as a child of God, should go forward, because there's a greater blessings and there's a greater life that's out there than they are here. There's a greater life that lies before us than that lies behind us. Man, could you think about what where you'd be without the Lord? I mean, how many of us tonight would look back to where we was before we got saved? Man, do you want to go back to that? Is there anything in that old life that you want to go back to? I mean, the old desires, the old sin, I mean, that old man, I mean, do you really want to go back to that? Then why do we play with it? Why do we try to balance it out? Well, I'll draw a little bit closer, but I don't want to get too close. The message that God has for us tonight is for a child of God is this, is that we go forward because the life that He has before us is better than the life that's behind us. John 10:10, what does the Bible say? The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. May I say unto you tonight, and young people, I want you to listen to me. There's a better life in God before you than anything that you've ever experienced in the past. The life that God has, even for an older saint of God, for a young saint of God, for any saint of God, the life is better farther on. It's better down the road. It's better. It's a better life. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Notice this, the giver of this life, the life that's granted. He says that, notice what he says here, that they might have life. The life that you and I have tonight has been granted by the Lord. God has granted us this life. I mean, we're here because He wants us to be here. You say, well, you know, I'm too old. I can't do nothing. Do you really realize tonight that if God was done with you, He'd take you on? He'd take you on. The life that we have has been granted by the Lord. Just as He granted the children of Israel the exile out of Egypt, but He was trying to get them to a better life. Notice this better life. It's not just it's been granted by the Lord, but notice the graciousness of this life. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You say, well, what do you mean? It doesn't mean more cars, more land, more clothes, more guns, more dresses, more pocketbooks. Don't mean more of that. It means more of Him. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Remember, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. I got a question for you tonight. Are you living an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your life really abundant? Or is there a lot of deficits in your life? Is there a lot of emptiness in your life? Is there a lot of things that are missing? A lot of discontent, dissatisfactions? You realize that the reason that the Lord wants us to go forward is because there's a better life that He has for us. I mean, there's not a one of us in here cannot say that it's better today serving the Lord. David talks about this. He said, I'd rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I mean, man, the song says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, the more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Hey, I'm telling you, the life that God has for me and you is better farther on. As the song says, it is better farther on, still go farther. Count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It is better farther on. He's saying go forward because the life that I have for you is better than what you have in today. And man, I've had some good times in my life in the Lord. And if it gets better, man, if I'm not living in the abundance that He has for me, oh, what am I missing? And this is the other thing. If you have your Bibles, you turn and look. I don't want this. Notice what the Bible says this here in Hebrews chapter number 12. And I don't know if I preached this message here or not. Failing of the grace of God. Have I ever preached that message? Failing of the grace of God. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15.
looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Think about that just for a minute. That word fail means to fall short of. It means, that word lest means that there's a possibility. So think about this. Think about that there is the grace that God has for me. But because I choose not to go forward, I come short of the grace of the abundant life that God has for me. Oh, what blessings I might have missed in my life. What blessings I've already missed in my life. I'm not talking about falling from grace. I'm talking about failing of the grace of God, that God has some great blessings in store for me. But because I refuse to go forward, because I refuse to move forward, because I get sedentary in my state, then I miss the blessings of grace that God has for me in my life. There's a possibility of that. Boy, wouldn't you hate to know you got to heaven and God said, you know, I had this for you. I have this for you. I have this for you. Look at what you missed. The reason that I should go forward is because there's a better life. Not of the reason that I should go forward is because there's a better land. Looking at, go back to the book of Exodus, chapter number 13. There's a better land. We preached a little bit about this land last Sunday night. And it shall be, verse number 5 of Hebrews, or Exodus chapter number 13, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers, to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that shall keep this service in this month. May I say this to you, and I'm not re-preaching last Sunday night, but that land that God has for us, church, is a plentiful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Not only is this a plentiful land, but what did He say? He said, I'm going to give you this land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, and Jebusites. We shared last week how He said, I'll go and I'll drive them out before you. And may I say unto you today, it's a protected land, because who is occupying that land that God was telling them in Exodus chapter 13, verse number 5, who is occupying that land today? Who's occupying it? They are. They back home to the land that He had promised them. It is a protected land. It is a provided land. But get this, as we preached last Sunday night, it's a plentiful land. They came back with the clusters of grapes hanging between two men. And may I say unto you, there is more out there for you and I to enjoy in the land that God has for us. And it's a provisional land. It's a land of provision. It's a land of plenty. It's a land of protection. I have rather be in the will of God and in God's perfect will and God's protection of my life than in and have the armies of the whole world surrounding me. It don't bother me to walk down the street. I've been on the mission field, and I was there in Jamaica, and we pulled up, and I was there with Brother Wesley Hutchins. He's now Western Field Director of Macedonia Baptist Missions, and we was there, and it was one of my first mission trips I ever went on. And we was riding in the back of this little, it was a Volkswagen van they chopped off and made a pickup out of. We was riding in the back. And man, they was having them, or they was a bunch, we were in a Rastafarian neighborhood. And man, the police were walking up and down the road, and man, they had M16s and AK-47s strapped to them, and man, there was parties going on, and there was this going on and that going on, and man, they was hollering at us as we would ride down the road, and here we are. Now, understand this, we're in a dark place, and we stuck out like sore thumbs, okay? All right? I think you get the picture. They could see us coming from a miles away, all right? We didn't look like them. And they called us everything and was naming us everything. And Brother Wesley, they were some of the men that was real little upset, and he said this, whatever we do, if we stop at the stop sign, he said, as long as you're in this vehicle, you're safe. And I thought, well, what does he mean about that? Why can't man making? I mean, because you got to understand and realize, I'm sitting here on a bench about like this, and there's just a one-by stake right here, you know, that we're leaning back on, and they could have drugged me out and, you know, whatever. Not that they would have wanted me, but, you know. And he said, stay in the truck. He said, this is the Lord's vehicle. And he says, you're safer in God's hands than you are in man's hands. And he says, stay in the truck. And you know, we went through that every night and we never had any trouble. Why? Because we was protected by the hand of God. I don't worry about somebody coming in on my house. I was raised never lock your doors. Now if I lived in town, I might be a little bit different. And I know that you can't be too crazy, huh? But who are you trusting to keep you secure? I mean, you worried about EMC, security? Is that what's keeping you secure? I mean, think about it. You'll say, well, I just call the law. Really? I mean, we live in White County. We got a good sheriff. But, I mean, there's only like 5 deputies on patrol at a time. And if you're living on the outskirts, I mean, what if they're at the donut shop? Or what if they're at Glenda's? And, you know, what if they're there? Hey, and somebody comes in on you. Who you count on protecting you? I'd rather be in the will of God, in the land of God, and have God's protection about me and my family than I had out in this world. And he says, I'm telling you, go forward because there's a better land. There's a better life, and there's a better land. Now, not only that, let's look at this. If you have your Bible, look back and turn over to the Exodus 14, turn over one page. Not only the Word of God tells me to, because there's a better life and that there's a better land, but look in verse number 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. I'm in chapter number 14. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You say, what are you saying there? What are you seeing there? Not only the Word of God tells me to, the Word of God encourages me to. Because when did this take place? When did this take place? Before or after He said, go forward? It took place after He said, go forward. He says, you go forward. You move forward. You go on. You press on. And what happened? When they went forward and they followed the will of God and they were moving in the direction that God wanted them to, what did God do? He caused the sea to go back. What happened to them? They walked across on dry ground. You say, what does that mean for me and you, preacher? The Word of God, as I study it out, it encourages me to move forward because I see God's hand providing for His people. I see God's hand there protecting His people. I see God's hand doing some miraculous thing in His children's life because they're moving forward. Not only that, they caused the sea to go back. Look in verse 25. And took off the chariot wheels so that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth against the Egyptians. Now think about this. Who took off the chariot wheels? God did. Why? Because they was going forward. They was going forward. You say, well, I ain't never seen the Lord do nothing like that. Well, maybe because we're just sitting sedentary and we're not moving forward. Maybe we can't see the blessings of God and what God can do because maybe we're sitting saying God can't. Maybe we're saying, well, you know, we've never done that before, or I've never done that before. I've never moved on forward. Maybe, you know, we can't do that. Look, man, we've tried it and it's failed. But may I say unto you, when we go forward because the Word of God tells us to and encourages us to, we can look back and we can see what God has done. Look at that. He took those wheels off the chariots. Look in verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Look in verse 31. And what happened here? And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did. What did they see? They seen the dry ground. All right? They walked across it. I mean, I can imagine, you know, if I was a child or even if I was an adult, you know, and having that wall of water. I mean, I don't know how it was. I don't know, but I've always imagined the wall of water, you know, kind of like they predicted projected there in the movies, that big wall of water. You know, seeing the fish and everything swim by. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's how it happened or not. I mean, but, you know, think about that. Man, to see what God had done. And then to watch God take the chariot wheels on. And then to watch God overthrow the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And then why did God do all of this? So that they would move forward, because when they saw what God had done. Now I got a question for you. We told the story about Brother Jack this morning of his preacher friend that had the mountain moved. I got a question. Have you ever seen God work that way in your life? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen God do the miraculous things that you've heard of stories of old? Have you ever seen God bring in on a Sunday morning $25,000 in an offering? Have you ever seen a man walk in and say, "Here's the keys to a van. Bought and paid for, it's yours"? Have you ever seen God do what only God can do? As I talked to Brother Leo about Forest Hills and what God did under the direction of Dr. Hudson down there, and one of the greatest men of our times, and all the things that God did, and it encourages me and it excites me, but I just don't want to see what God, I just don't want to hear about what God did for Curtis Hudson. I don't want to hear what God did for Sammy Allen. I'm thankful for all those great men of God and what God's done in their life, and I just don't want to tell you what God did for us at Faith Baptist Church in Dawsonville and what I seen God do at Wahoo Baptist Church while I was there. I want you to see what God can do when we as a church moves forward. I want you to see it, because mine eye affecteth my heart. Lamentations 3:51. When you see what God can do, you want to go forward. You want to move forward. You want to go on. Say, "Man, this is good." Why? Because there's a better life. There's a better land. And when you see what the goodness of God can do to us and for us, they saw it. But not only because the Word of God encourages us to, but I want to see this one. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. We know this passage of Scripture. We know the story of the Shunammite woman, how that she had prayed for a son, and Elisha there, she became a friend of Elisha, and how that she built there the prophet's chamber for him, and how that she asked her and said, "Well, what, you know, would you like? What can I do for you?" And she said, "I have no child." And we know that Elisha blessed her and said, "You know, you're going to have a son." And then we know in verse 18, we find the Bible says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father's, to the reaper. And he said unto his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat her on her knees till noon and then died." Now I want you to go on down to verse number 22. "And she called unto her husband and said, 'Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again.' And he said, 'Where will thou go to him today? It is neither a new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It shall be well.' Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slight not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Church, why should we go forward? Because there's wounded in this world that need God. This Shunammite woman had this son. He had died. It was a blessing. But somebody needed to go get the Lord. And that was Elisha. Somebody needed to go get the man of God. Somebody needed to drive forward. She said, drive and go forward. Don't turn back. Don't you worry about it. You go get the man of God. There's a man of God down there, and he can help my boy. What the man of God was representation of the presence of God. And may I say unto you today, the wounded in White County in Cleveland, Georgia need somebody to drive and go forward, because there's wounded in these houses and there's wounded in these apartments, and they need something from God. And somebody needs to go forward. I'd say it was pretty good this morning, didn't you? The wounded got healed. But I wonder how many more wounded is out there. I wonder how many more is up and down these hills and these hollers that need somebody to drive and go forward, to bring the presence of God to them. I'd say it's a pretty good reason to go forward. When that young man stood up here this morning and said, I got saved. The Lord saved me. When I asked him, I said, Tyler, I said, will you stand before church and tell them what the Lord's done for you? He says, I'm too shy. And I said, well, son, the Bible says that, you know, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. And I said, it'll do you good to tell what the Lord's done for you. I said, you do realize that you'll never spend a day in hell. And he said, I think I can tell. And he stood up, and what was his words? He said, I got saved. Why? Why? Because we went forward. Because we went forward. Oh, we tried to find it. You're looking at one. I'm preaching to the preacher, okay? We found excuses. But we finally went forward. And what did we find? We find that there was somebody out there that needed the Lord. So, Brother Spencer, you missed it, part of it, but son, we're just going to drive on and we're going to go forward. Why? Because there's a young man that's got a family that needs some help. There's wounded in this world that needs the church to go forward. And guess what, Zion Hill Baptist Church? If we don't go forward, who's going to go? Who's going to go if we don't? Not only the Word of God encourages to, the Word of God tells us to, the wounded of God needs us to. And let's look at this and then I'll be done. Turn back one page in your Bible. Verse number 24, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. Now we do understand that God said about the Moabites that He said, Moab is my wash pot. He said, they're the filthy nastiness of what I wash my dishes in. That old nasty dish drank water. You know, after you've had a family meal, you know, not just after a bowl of cereal, but I'm talking about the family meal, and my wife is shaking her head because it makes her sick. I'm talking about that old brown water, you know, that you let down the sink, that used to, you have to throw out in the wash pot. That's what God said about Moab. He said, they're my wash pot. He said, they're the filthiness and the nastiness of the world.
They're the enemies of God. Remember, who was it that went down into Moab in the book of Ruth? Remember that? He went down full and he came back empty. Why? Because he went down into God's wash pot. But what happened here? We know here that the kings of Israel, he got together, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, Moab there was coming against them. They were running havoc throughout the land and they came together and they got down here in this valley and God done a great miracle. And Elisha there came to them and spoke and he says, when you there see what the Lord is going to do, he says, you dig the ditches and he said, God's going to send a miracle. And what happened was this, is they looked down there in that dry valley, the children of Israel and the children of Judah had dug out ditches and God sent a flood in to fill that land. And there the children of Moab looked off the hills and they seen there that water and it looked like blood and they made this statement. They said, surely they got scared and they turned on one another and they killed each other. Let us go in and take the spoils. But unbeknown to them, God had a group down there that was ready to drive them out of their own country. And beloved, I'm telling you today, the reason that you and I ought to go follow is because there's some enemies of God that's in our county, and there's some enemies of God that's in our country, and there's some enemies of God that's in our houses and in our homes, and there's some enemies of God that's in our families. And beloved, we need to drive forward, and we need to drive some enemies of God out of the places that God's given us. We need to go forward. You say, well, I just don't know about driving them out. Well, God done all the driving. All they done was the running. You do realize that the reason that our society is the way that it is today is because the church quit going forward. For hundreds of years, this nation was known as a Christian nation, based upon Christian standards and Christian morals. And the church house was the moral compass of society. But about the 1940s and the 1950s, and I understand the need when moms had to go to work and when the women left the house and went to work to provide for the war. But the problem is mamas never came back home. And when mamas never came back home, what happened to that generation? Raised a bunch of hippies in about the 60s and the 70s. Okay? And what happened then? They threw prayer out of school. They threw God out of school. And then as we've seen a moral regression over the last 50 years of our life. Why? Because the church quit going forward. And the church is no more a moral compass of society. The church is the laughing stock of society. Where have we been the last 8 years? We've been mocked. We've been made fun of. I mean, we're not a voice anymore. And the world looks at us as a bunch of dummies. People have lost their mind. What did they say about our vice president? What was it on national TV when they said that he talked to God and God talked to him? What was the words that they used? Anybody remember? Huh? He was mentally ill. It's what they said on The View about Mike Pence, our vice president, because he said he prayed to God and he talked to God and God talked back to him. And on public television, they said he must be mentally ill. You know what happened? We quit going forward. And the enemy's got the upper hand. And instead of us being the voice of society and the moral compass of society, we're the laughing stock of society. But you say, well, what can I do to change that? What can we do? What can we do, preacher? Go forward. Drive them out. One by one. One, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the enemies. I'm talking about the enemies. Go forward. Why? Number one, the Word of God tells us to. All right? There's a better life and a better land. Number two, the Word of God encourages to. Number two,
Or number three, the wounded of this world needs us to. And number four, the enemies of God need to be put on the move. And all we got to do is go forward. Wouldn't you like to be a lighthouse and a beacon on this hill in this town? I mean, really? Would you like that? I would. I mean, I'm honest. I'd like, and I'm closing. But Brother Wesley, I'd like when the county commissioners made a decision, I would like to be have a voice and a presence to the point that they'd say, well, I wonder what they're going to think about that at Zion Hill Baptist Church. It's what they used to do. They was concerned about what the church house thought. But what have we done? We've sat down. The church has sat down. I'm just not talking about Zion Hill Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has sat down. But we need to go forward. When memories of the past take away from our vision from the future, we'll all die. We'll all die. You see, if we have no where there is no vision, the people perish. And when there is no vision, you don't go forward. You don't go forward. But God help us as a church to move forward. I want Miss Evelyn to come. This altar's open. I don't know how to give an invitation tonight, but I hope I've encouraged you to go forward. Go forward in your Christian life. Let's go forward as a church. There's a better Lamb. There's a better life. There's more Tylers that need to hear from God. I mean, Elisha went and raised that boy from the dead. Hey, we didn't raise him from the dead, but we got him to the one that could raise him from the dead. Amen? He got a new life in Jesus this morning. I mean, look, Hannah's got a new life. Nicole's got a new life. Who else since I've been here? In here. Nobody, I mean, in here tonight. Anybody? A new life. I think it's worth going forward. Amen. I think it's worth going forward. We're standing all over the house. Miss Evelyn's playing. This altar's open.